We chat wrestling on the radio every Sunday night, but if that's not enough for you, we put out content pretty much every day on our Patreon. Patreon.com/SNMEradio is your source for sports entertainment. Entertainment. We're a nice compliment to what you watch on TV. It's only $1 a week and you get content each and every day at patreon.com/SNMEradio. As I like to say, don't you dare miss it.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
WWE continues to clean house. Edge returns to SmackDown. And Jungle Boy and Kenny Omega have one hell of a Saturday night main event. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. We are Canada's wrestling radio program, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery, and coming at you across this great country just days before Canada Day on the iHeartRadio Talk Network and TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, and it's been another busy week in the world of wrestling, and we'll try to recap and run down it all for you right here tonight. Dave Meltzer will drop in for his weekly chat to examine a new crop of WWE releases and what the return of Edge means for the SummerSlam main event, because it's not what you may think. Later in the show, my midweek markout co-host Mark Andrada will be on to chat about the excellent AEW main event last night, and we'll also question why every Dynamite program has to end with five guys running into the ring. Enough already. Plus, crack open your favorite GLB Pale Ale as we will have a Canuck edition of Turnbuckle Trivia. Remember, if you're listening on the radio right now or the free podcast, be sure to sign up to our Patreon and get daily podcasts covering the world of pro wrestling. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's only $1 a week. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. And now, the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, to kick things off, it's another round of WWE releases, continuing to slim down their roster. 14 more performers gone as of this week, and the news surfaced on Friday. Here is your list. Fandango, Tyler Breeze, Tony Nese, Aria Davari, August Gray, the tag team Ever-Rise, made up of Chase Parker and Matt Martell, Kurt Stallion, the Bollywood Boys tag team, that's Sunil and Samir Singh, Arturo Huas, Marina Shafir, Killian Dane, and Tino Sabatelli, all of them released. And looking at that list, really, honestly, not a huge surprise for any of them. Many of them haven't been seen on television for quite a while. And if they had been seen, much like Ever-Rise, who seemed to be getting a bit of a push on NXT in a comedic role, no one here was at the top end of the card. So a lot less surprising than the last few rounds of cuts we have seen. But nonetheless, still very strange. WWE chop, chop, chopping away all of this talent. So I thought about putting this as my biggest story of the week, but the releases obviously took precedence, but here we go. Last Sunday night, Kevin Owens lost to Sami Zayn at WWE's Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, in which it was very, very clear to me that he had hurt his arm. I speculated on our after party that it was a shoulder separation, but he still continued to play out the match. Well, I told you I would investigate with my sources, and I have. I can now tell you with absolute certainty that Kevin Owens is fine. I was fooled. Kevin Owens is the best seller in the business. Mind blown. Wow. So last week we told you about Bronson Reed and Karrion Kross having dark matches. Well, this week they both appeared on main event. Bronson Reed defeated Drew Gulak while Karrion Kross beat Shelton Benjamin. They both appeared with their respective NXT championships, but Kross was not accompanied by Scarlett. You see, Scarlett got her own dark match before SmackDown on Friday night, where she lost to another debuting performer, Shotzi Blackheart, also in a dark match. So clearly, all of these people are looking for call-ups. Previous to SmackDown as well, Cross worked once again, defeating Slapjack. So, you know, we can use his own catchphrase for him. TikTok. He'll be across to Raw or SmackDown very, very soon. But what is curious here is to see if Scarlett is by his side or if WWE is going to pull another Rusev-Lana situation where clearly the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, but WWE likes to ignore the old saying. On Wednesday night's edition of The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, John Cena addressed his impending return to WWE saying, "Those rumors are true," when questioned if he'll be making his return to the ring. Now, Cena said he hasn't had his last match and he can't wait to have his next one. No date was given, however, so let those SummerSlam rumors continue to fly. PW Insider reported on Thursday that the Friday, September 10th episode of SmackDown will be held at Madison Square Garden in New York City. It'll be the first WWE event at MSG since a December 2019 house show. For our UK fans, WWE is headed to the United Kingdom for a four-show tour this September. The tour is taking place from September 19th to 22nd and will feature stops in Newcastle, London, Cardiff, and Glasgow. All four events will be house shows featuring wrestlers from the SmackDown roster. Really? You're going to go to Glasgow and you're not going to take Drew McIntyre? We'll see. Molly Holly is currently working backstage as an agent, and believe it or not, I'm not just saying that due to the pivot in the Nikki Cross angle. She's actually there on a two-week tryout. If that's the reason for the Nikki Cross angle, well, I don't know. Could just be coincidence. The Street Profits' Montez Ford has undergone surgery but isn't expected to be out of action for long. On his social media accounts this Thursday, Ford posted a picture indicating that he was having surgery. As reported in the Wrestling Observer newsletter, it was a voluntary surgery that's not related to an injury and should not keep Ford out of action for any significant length of time. AEW's Trent will be out a significant length of time. He is recovering from neck fusion surgery, once again putting him out of action. He posted a message of himself in a hospital bed with a noticeable scar on his neck, writing, "Neck fusion surgery went well." Obviously, this is very serious. Expect him to be out on the sidelines for at least a year. In an interview with The Metro, Rey Mysterio said he's not interested in wrestling against his son, Dominic. He said, quote, "We actually talked about this a while back when my son started to train. The more and more we got to spend time together in the ring and outside of the ring, it came to the point where me and my son were like, there's no need. The connection here is so beautiful. The love, more than father and son. I think we're like best friends." End quote. He would continue saying, so the thought of possibly facing each other, I think, was thrown down in the trash a while back. Oh boy, can you hear the smile on my face about what is about to happen? Yeah, if anyone in WWE gets a hold of this, you can pretty much book that angle in sooner than later. Just saying, I've been watching this for a while, folks. And I'm guessing it's going to happen. All right, a sad note to end the news pack this week. Melissa Coates, a Thunder Bay, Ontario-born bodybuilder turned wrestler, passed away at the age of 50 years old. Coates was a Killer Kowalski and UPW trainee and appeared on WWE TV in a Chris Masters Master Lock challenge, but her most notable role came as playing the Super Genie beside Sabu. Coates had been dealing with health issues due to severe blood clots in her left leg that required life-saving amputation from above the knee down in 2020, but it's unknown what caused her passing. That wraps up the week in wrestling news. Going to take a break when we come back. Dave Meltzer joins us to talk about these WWE releases, and we'll also touch on the Saturday night edition of Dynamite and Jungle Boy versus Kenny Omega last night that we all got to watch. All right, a break, and back with that right here, Sunday night's main event.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man.
In 1987, when Great Lakes Brewery was established, a lager was born. It came and went, but now has returned, along with the original label and stunning artwork. Every label tells a tale, so let's look at the story behind the Great Lakes Premium Lager label. Starting at the bottom left, we see the waves of the Great Lakes, which, at times, can be quite treacherous. Swing up to the top right. A mighty schooner cuts through the lake water majestically. slide across to the left to see a blue cranberry bush, I think. Now, diagonally one panel over, and we'll see a sailboat gliding along a mustache, I believe. Or is that a bowl of strawberry swirl ice cream with a nose on it, smelling a yellow mushroom and a blue dancing dinosaur, all the while atop a blue snake and her snake child? What the heck is that? Look, all that matters is Great Lakes Premium Lager from GLB is crisp and clean and ticks all the boxes of a truly crushable beer.
Ridiculous.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's Main Event.
Taking a deeper dive into the news now as Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer newsletter joins us. And Dave, it's another week and another group of releases. This has been quite the pattern over the past couple months for WWE.
Yeah, Friday's hit day, yeah.
Well, I mean, 14 more. I got to say, though, Dave, looking at these names, like, listen, of course, none of us want to see people released, but looking at these names, I understood them a lot more than the last crop when we had, you know, the Braun Strowmans of the world and Aleister Black. This crop was a lot of people that really weren't being used all that much.
Yeah, well, I mean, even the last one, I understood it. This one was more, you know, not everyone, but most of the guys were older, and I think that that was a key to some of it. But obviously, they were all people that they had, you know, made their mind up that they were never going to do anything with. I mean, even though Breeze and Fandango had been on NXT television, and obviously this was not a planned thing because their last match they won and they started a new angle. So that, and that was 2 weeks ago. So that tells me that 2 weeks ago, they were not on any chopping block at all. This was not something that they were prepared for. But, you know, Fandango's 39 years old, and the only thing they were going to do with them is just, you know, the idea, the reason that Breeze and Fandango were brought to NXT, because they had nothing for them on the main roster anymore, is that, well, they've had a lot of TV, and, you know, the people, the mentality in WWE was, if we put people who have had real TV exposure on our TV on NXT, they will win quarter hours because they've had WWE exposure. And, you know, aside from like Cody and Chris Jericho, nobody there, you know, or whatever, or Moxley, the other guys haven't. So that's kind of like, their mentality is like, you know, if we created them, then they're stars. And then everybody else, they're just like, oh, they're internet stars, or, you know, like they've got their little fan base. It's that's kind of the mentality there. So it was like the idea that they would go down there to help the ratings, but they weren't going to make a difference in the ratings. And, you know, and also help work with the younger guys because they're experienced guys and things like that. But, you know, they didn't need them because they have, like, people go like, you know, who's going to do that? And it's like, they got friggin' Gargano and Ciampa and Adam Cole and these guys that are experienced, great wrestlers down there that clearly, you know, whatever reason, always going to be there. And they can work with those young guys on the way up and help the Austin Theories and everything like that. And you know, you don't need a whole group of them. You only need a few. So I think that's what happened with Breeze and Fandango. And then the rest of them, yeah, they were all people that really weren't being used, you know, that were, and in some cases they weren't aging, but I think that there was a feeling they weren't going to ever do anything with them. And in other cases, they were just older people.
Yeah, I think with Fandango and Tyler Breeze, the reason why, I'm not saying it was a huge surprise, but as WWE goes back on the road, they're guys that can open up a card and get a pop from the fans at a house show. So that was my surprise there. Ever-Rise, to a degree, seemed to be gaining a little bit of momentum on NXT. So those two Canadian boys I was a little surprised about as well.
I was too, because they were getting some TV time, but you know, when you look at their age, and there is very much a mentality there, you know, from what I've been told in the last couple of weeks, especially, that we need, you know, we need younger guys. So the guys in their late 30s, you know, if you're a star in your late 30s, they may keep you 10 more years. But if you're in your late 30s and you haven't, like, made it in their eyes, you're probably in trouble right now. Because it's like, you know, they will, you know, they want to bring in guys in their 26 and under. And so guys 35 and over are going to be in trouble because of it, you know, as far as, because those are the spots. And I think they don't want to add talent. I think they already have too much talent anyway that they can use. So if they're going to bring in, let's say they're going to sign 10 new guys, I think the mentality is we got to get rid of 10 people to make that, you know, make the spots. Plus there's, you know, there's budgets and things like that. And, you know, these guys, I mean, some of these guys are very good, but they, you know, they weren't going to be stars. They'd already made the decision on them. So it's kind of like, I remember years ago, Jim Ross used to tell me that, like, and of course they certainly don't have this mentality now, that it's like when we bring in guys for developmental, it's like if they don't make the main roster in 3 years, you know, bring in, you know, we should start training new guys. You know what I mean? We're here to fortify and make WrestleMania stars. That's the idea of developmental. And then developmental kind of took on a life of its own, and it became your fight with Ring of Honor originally, and right. Now, you know, now just kind of like keeping, talented guys away from other companies. And it isn't just let's get people ready for WrestleMania.
Do you foresee more cuts coming? I mean, this seems to be the third round in as many months.
My impression is, yeah.
Wow.
And especially if they add people, I think that for at this point, for everyone they add, they'll probably cut someone. And that may, you know, in a sense, that makes sense at this point.
Hmm. Well, so if we look at what happened on Monday, if you had told me 10 years ago, Dave, that we'd see four cell matches in 4 days, I would find it hard to believe. But, you know, never say never in wrestling. Raw gets a cell match after SmackDown had a cell match after we saw a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Was this just a matter of, okay, if we do it for Fox, we got to do it for NBC as well?
I don't know if it's, I mean, you could be right. I don't know that. I think it's just more that, like, they think it's the hot thing to do, and they're you know, like there's all kinds of promotion for Hell in a Cell, but as you and I both know, the more you do it, the less it means.
Yeah.
So by the time they got to Raw, it really didn't mean anything anymore. I think that, you know, putting the Roman Reigns Rey Mysterio match on, you know, there was a reason for that, and then you had the pay-per-view, so that's the three. When you did the other one on Monday, it was kind of like, we've already seen it. We've already seen it exposed. I mean, that's the other thing, too, is the Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre match. It's like the whole concept of Hell in a Cell. It's like once you see that match, it's like you don't need to see one for a year because everything that it's supposed to be, it wasn't. So, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah. Now we're going to see Bobby Lashley in another one after we already know MVP interferes. So what's the point of the cage to begin with? So it's kind of like, whatever. Yeah.
You know, we just talked about the fact that they're cleaning house for people that they consider old, yet re-debuting on SmackDown. Edge is back. I guess it doesn't matter because he's a star.
But
and
Edge has a big contract, and Edge isn't going to fit into that. You know,
no,
like
of course.
You know, Edge or Bill Goldberg. You know, they'll bring those guys back. You know, forever, so to speak, as long as they feel that they can. You know what I mean? Like Edge is never going to be a full time guy. It would be bad for him. I don't think his body would be able to take it. But you know, the he's a big star. So I mean, like, yes, you want to go young, but you've got those guys that you can pull out, and Edge being one of them. The thing with Edge is with one exception with the Randy Orton match at WrestleMania, every match he's been in has been a great match. And with the older guys, it's like that's the big thing. And promo wise, every promo he's done has been great.
Oh, he's absolutely excellent. However, I distinctly remember his last appearance being stacked on top of Daniel Bryan or vice versa and Roman Reigns pinning him. My surprise here, Dave, was not him coming back, but him coming back on SmackDown as opposed to being Bobby Lashley's opponent for Raw.
Yeah, I would have said the same thing. I was really surprised. I mean, I knew they were bringing him back for July when they went back on the road, mm-hmm. You know, and for some of the TVs and for SummerSlam. So I knew he was coming back. But Roman Reigns, I didn't know, and that surprised me because if you looked at the finish at WrestleMania, it's like that told me that direction was done. Now all of a sudden they're restarting it. So I think that they probably should have done a different finish at WrestleMania, but this is like the sign that they weren't thinking 3 months ahead. They were just thinking that day, and they were under the impression then that Roman, you know, that Edge and Roman Reigns were done. And 2 months later, you know, you look around and it's like, who do we got? And it's like, we got nobody.
Yeah, I mean, 3 months
that's
3 months ahead is unbelievable for WWE. 3 days ahead is a luxury. Sometimes it's not even 3 hours ahead from what we've heard about the scripts being torn up right before Raw and SmackDown. But what does this mean for Edge at SummerSlam? Are we going Reigns and Edge for SummerSlam then?
My impression for SummerSlam is Reigns and Cena. But I know Edge is penciled in, or at least was 3 or 4 days ago, penciled in against Rollins. I was told that
that is on
the card, but it absolutely could change. Obviously the whole card can change, but they're pretty committed. Excuse me, they're pretty committed to a couple of matches, and that is not one of them. But that is a match scheduled, so I could see, you know, with Rollins throwing his hat into the world title picture, I can see like a three-way world title picture with Reigns, Rollins, and Edge. And maybe Edge and Rollins going, you know, like whatever you do in this match coming up, then Edge and Rollins kind of fighting for that number one contendership at SummerSlam.
Right, right. And then you have, so the plan still is Reigns versus Cena, because I thought that maybe with Edge returning, that's a Lashley-Cena match, because we don't have an opponent for Lashley at SummerSlam as of yet.
I mean, it's possible, you know, but Lashley, yeah, I mean, we don't have an opponent, and I watched that show, and, you know, Kofi Kingston certainly is another one who has not been groomed for that spot. You know what I mean? It's like they just beat him with Drew McIntyre in a clean finish on TV a few weeks ago, so it's not, you know, they don't have anyone ready for him. So does that mean, you know, Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg? Mm-hmm. Bray Wyatt's always on the outside, too. That's another one.
No, that's just the worst. That'll destroy him. All right, let's end off here talking about something positive. Jungle Boy got his big match last night versus Kenny Omega. Did not win, but looked great. This seemed to be really great for Dynamite and for Omega and really for Jungle Boy. But we're on a Saturday night. It's still such a weird time slot. Do you think it worked to make it feel special by being on a Saturday night? Or maybe should they have waited until they did return to their Wednesday nights?
They tried. It felt like a really good show. They tried to make it into a big match, but not gigantic big. And you could argue. You know, you could definitely make the argument to wait for Wednesday when you were probably going to get a better rating, and probably the week from Wednesday, maybe the first show in Miami. You know, you could argue that, but you know what? I mean, they had planned and built it up, and I think it was just the idea was do it on the Saturday. I mean, yeah, you know, it didn't, the dates, you don't want to throw away these shows either. And they do have certain ideas on different shows, and maybe they wanted to get to this, and then they've got a date, I'm going to guess, for Kenny Omega and Christian, and, you know, I don't know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whenever it's going to be, and they want to pace it out, you know, and before you get to whatever the big match is, which I'm going to guess Adam Page for Labor Day.
Right. I enjoyed this match, and I was fine. And I think most fans are fine in AEW when a match concludes, and then we could have either seen Jungle Boy distraught, or we could have seen Kenny Omega with the title. I really find, Dave, AEW has now established a trope of ending each show with some sort of run-in and schmoz and a whole bunch of other people that are coming out. What's the mentality here? Is it strictly because they want people to look forward to the next thing? Because the last thing that I needed to see was Matt Hardy.
Yeah, but I think that it wasn't so much Matt Hardy as Christian and set up the Christian and Omega. And then, then it's like, well, we're going to do Christian and Matt Hardy to set up Omega, I'm thinking, from watching this. So they threw out Matt Hardy. I mean, yes, that could have been next week. I thought, I thought when that pinfall was done that they should just end it and have Jim Ross go in, like, kind of with a soliloquy of what we just saw, you know, kind of like the Jim Lampley wrap-up of the big championship fight after it's over. I really wanted that, but we didn't get it. We got something else. But that's fine, too. But I would have loved it because it's And JR did do that before. He started doing that before the run-in, but that would have been a great way to end and just go, you know, we've seen this guy progress, and someday he's going to be champion, and he came close, and it was there, you know, but and just made it more about Omega and Jungle Boy instead of ending it where you're thinking about Christian and Hardy. But Christian and Hardy, obviously, you know, they're gonna hopefully do that match soon.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more there. Jungle Boy now, where do you think they go with him out of this? This was his big build. Of course, it's not his time yet, but how do you keep this character in people's minds and keep it flowing? What do you think's next?
I think he needs to get in a program and, you know, with someone who has some credibility and go over them. And, you know, I mean, when the show was over, you know, my thought kind of was is keep him strong. You know, and he can lose. You know, he can lose, but, you know, have him win more than lose. And 4 to 6 months, he beats Miro for the TNT title.
Yeah.
And has a run there. And then 2 years from now, back challenging. And at that point, real serious contender. Maybe pay-per-view contender instead of TV contender. And someday, winning. I mean, he's got some things he's got. I mean, he's got certain things going for him, but he's got certain things that he's lacking. And I'm not saying he needs them to be a champion, but hopefully in the next 2-3 years he can get them. And then when he has them, when he's champion, he can be a better champion.
Agreed. Dave, that is fantastic. Observer this week, what can people look forward to?
I got an analysis of everybody who was cut, where I think they should go, or who I think should pick them up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And just the coverage of all the different shows, Japan, there's stuff going on there. And this week, whatever is going to happen in Raw, every week there's AEW and WWE news. Especially now that they're touring, there's going to be more and more news. So, you know, we'll cover that and how ticket sales are going. And you know, we're a week from Wednesday from AEW being on the road, and we're a couple weeks from WWE being on the road. Next pay per view is going to be at a sold out arena with 10,000 people almost. So. We haven't seen that other than WrestleMania. You know, we haven't seen that in a long, long time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to no Thunderdome. That's great, Dave. Well, listen, we'll follow along with that at WrestlingObserver.com, and we'll text to you next week at this same time.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Always love chatting with Dave Meltzer each week here on Sunday night's main event. Going to take a break, come back. We'll do some Canadian trivia in Turnbuckle Trivia, and then Mark Andrade is still to come as well. Stick with us, Sunday night's main event.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart. Closer to the heart.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today. WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there, and they say yeah.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event. We've got two patrons on the line. One of them will be walking away with a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. A couple new shirts up there right now, including NXT Talk and our Roman Reigns parody shirt, the Acknowledge SNME shirt. They just went up last week. Check them out at ballergear.ca. Player one is Chris, who is calling from Sault Ste. Marie. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon, Jay.
All right, you are playing against James from New Jersey. Hey, James.
Howdy, dude.
All right, James. Now, I really hate to do this to you, but it just happens to be the topic today. Do you know what is happening this Thursday, July the 1st?
I don't.
Okay, that's Canada Day, James.
Okay.
So today's trivia will involve Canadians in the world of wrestling. Now, I did take into account for these questions that you are from New Jersey, but you are playing against a Canadian. So I wish you all the best. It is, however, the Canadian trivia here. So let's see how you do. And honestly, Chris, if you lose, you got to hand in your citizenship.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Chris versus James. No, I kept it pretty fair, guys. Here we go. Chris, first question for you, and it might surprise you. Let's see if you know. Who was the only Canadian to wrestle at WrestleMania 1?
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
That is correct. Often forgotten that he's actually Canadian from Saskatchewan, and that's the correct answer. Very good. Roddy Piper, the only one. James, to you, who was the first Canadian to ever hold the Intercontinental Championship?
Patterson.
That's correct. Very good. A bit of a trick question because, you know, he was the first Intercontinental Champion. Back to you, Chris. Born in Edmonton in 1928, what late professional wrestler gave himself the nickname Canada's Greatest Athlete?
Was that Mike Sharp?
That is incorrect. As I did say, born in 1928, Gene Kaniski is
right.
The correct answer. Now, James, what late wrestler was a 1980s jobber in WWF and also gave himself the nickname Canada's Greatest Athlete to get heat?
I have no idea.
The correct answer is Iron Mike Sharp and was handed to you, James. Handed to you.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Back to you, Chris. We all remember Stu Hart, but what is the first name of the matriarch of the Hart family?
Oh, well, that's Helen.
Very good. It is Helen. Correct. All right, James, to you. In 1992, Bret Hart won his first WWF title, the heavyweight title. It was against Ric Flair. This took place at a WWF Superstars taping in what Canadian prairie city?
Quebec?
No, the answer is Saskatoon. That is a tougher one. Chris, to you. Rocky Johnson, the late father of The Rock, was Canadian. He was born in what Canadian province?
Oh, gee. I should know this. I want to say Newfoundland, but... Yeah, I'm going to say Newfoundland.
That is incorrect, Chris. Nova Scotia is where he was born. The East Coast dads would be very upset at you right now.
I was close, though.
Well, you were on... I did say East Coast. You only got one of four. James, to you. Now, you should get this one, James. I've mentioned it on the show many times before. The Rock spent time in Canada when he played a partial season for which CFL franchise?
Stampede? Calgary Stampede?
I'm going to give him that, because you know what? Yeah. He's American, and he's competing against a Canadian, and he's supposed to know a CFL team. The Calgary Stampeders is the correct answer, so I'm giving it to him. Let's face it, he's from New Jersey. Let's be a little bit easy. It ties it up 2-2 here. Now, you guys have... Chris, I'm going to really test you with this one. As I said, I tried to wait this one out. In what city was Lance Storm born?
Was it Calgary, Alberta?
He was not. He was born in Sarnia, Ontario. Now, James.
Wow,
yeah, weird, right?
Yeah.
He did spend some time because I think he also went to school here as well, from what I remember. It might have been Thunder Bay. I'm not 100% sure, but he went to university in Ontario as well. But since then, of course, from Calgary. Dramatic pause. Alberta, Canada. James, final question. And if you get this, James, you have outdone the Canadian on Canadian trivia and... Chris must relinquish his citizenship. When Chris Jericho and Lance Storm became tag team partners in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, what name did they use?
High Voltage.
No, that is a WCW job tag team from the early 90s. The correct answer is the Thrill Seekers. And that makes it a tie. So, with a little bit of editing on our part, I've got both of the answers for this tiebreaker question, which is closest to without going over, but I don't let you hear each other's answers anymore. Chris, The question was, Bret Hart is a five-time WWF champion. How many days did he hold that title cumulatively? And Chris, your answer is?
I said 130.
Okay, and now James, your answer was?
700.
So 130 and 700. We're playing the game of closest to without going over, and it's a big... It's an interesting one here. The correct answer is 654, which means, Chris, you have got the win, even though you are far, far more away.
I realized that after I had said it. I'm like, crap.
Yeah. In the days of Bret Hart, they held the championship a lot longer. But because James went over by a rule, I mean, James, it's kind of appropriate that you got screwed on a Bret Hart question, right? Congratulations, Chris. You have got the win. You've got a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. James, we'll have you back sooner than later, actually, because we're scheduling the next round, and I'm going to get you on pretty quick because I'm not going to make you play Canada Day trivia next time around. Sound good, pal?
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
And listen, patrons, that is the deal. I only have Turnbuckle Trivia booked up to the end of July, and then we go into another round of it. If you didn't play this round, meaning from after the tournament till now, message me immediately, and I'll get you in at the end of July, and then we're going to start an all-new round in August. So, if you're not signed up, but you want to play Turnbuckle Trivia, I'll give preference to people who sign up. Let's get those first-timers in. Sign up right now. The Turnbuckle Trivia level, patreon.com/SNMEradio. Along with that, you can upgrade from the basic level to Turnbuckle Trivia. It's only a couple bucks more per month. And you can win a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. Taking a break. Coming on back, Mark Andrada joins me next right here on Sunday night's main event. I'm on the list.
I'm Manny Arsenault, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
The V-trigger, the double underhook, Tiger Driver 98. The champion hooks the near leg. It's Jungle Boy! The referee's hand a hair's breadth away.
The Tiger Driver didn't pay off tonight.
No,
any other year. Any other vintage.
Uh-oh.
One-winged angel! Oh,
that no. Will. That will. Wow. God almighty, what a match.
Well, any excuse to play Baltimora. Gotta be one of my favorite parts of Dynamite now, seeing all the fans go bananas. It's the only thing that I like about Marco Stunt in this pairing is that he definitely does get the fans going, and now he's working on getting all the arms in sync as well. And a clip there, of course, of last night's, Saturday night's Dynamite, which was Jungle Boy losing to Kenny Omega. Joining me right now, my midweek markout partner, Mark Andrada. Mark, it was an event last night. I know you love an event. What did you think of Dynamite on a Saturday?
I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching wrestling on a Saturday night. And the fact that it was just a television, I don't want to say just, but it was just a television show. It wasn't, you know, some sort of overhyped big event. Although they did put a lot of emphasis on Omega and Jungle Boy.
I mean, rightfully so. Like, rightfully so. Yeah.
Absolutely. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the entire show. And that match was, they kept saying at the beginning of the match, we've got a 60-minute time limit. We're going to go the distance. We're going to stay right here, even if it passes 10 o'clock. And I was like, oh, boy, are they going to go to a 60-minute draw? I got really excited for that. And you'd think by the finish that I would be disappointed if I was expecting a 60-minute match. But I was not at all.
No, I thought that this was good. I mean, obviously, you're not going to have Jungle Boy win here. So they're put into this situation, and it's a matter of Jungle Boy is a future star. There are certain people that you can tell. You can tell in AEW. There's Jungle Boy, MJF, Sammy Guevara. Like, these are very special young talents. So you've put Jungle Boy in this situation. What do you do to continue to make Jungle Boy strong, but Kenny Omega obviously stronger? I thought they did a great job here. Hey, Mom was at ringside, yeah, which was cool. You had, and now we know where he gets his hair from. but Jungle Boy in this match, look, countering the one-winged angel with the reverse Hurricanrana. Later in the match, he sneaks down the back for a pin attempt. I was actually, Mark, a little disappointed when Kenny did go to the one-winged angel. I thought it would have been more effective if Kenny Omega outsmarted Jungle Boy by doing the finish on the Tiger Driver.
I really liked that Jungle Boy was kicking out of everything. He kicked out of a V-trigger. He kicked out of a bunch of stuff before the one-winged angel. And I really liked that. And that one-winged angel was so tight and gross looking. Like, he hit it so hard. It was perfect.
So what do you do now? Jungle Boy's had a great showing. He's obviously not hurt by this. He's elevated on the card. Now where? And I just posed this to Meltzer, but now what do you do with him?
Yeah, that's a tough call, because my knee-jerk reaction would be MJF, but MJF is tied up with Sammy Guevara, which I think is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I don't know. I don't know where he goes. Is it wild to say that he targets that other belt and he goes after Miro? Like,
well, that's what Meltz was saying. I guess great minds think alike in that case. Yeah, put him in a program with someone else, and then 2-3 months down the line, he targets Miro, was Dave's thought. I do think that he's now in a position where you put the emphasis on him. He does have to start getting some wins here, right? Like, I also, you know, I know he's Jungle Boy, but does he need the Tarzan outfit? Or is there an evolution to this character where, you know, you get to a point like Rusev just dropped the gladiator style thing, or Magnus dropped the gladiator style character. It was still their name, but they didn't necessarily have to full on be the character. They were just known as that. Because I could see a bit of an evolution happening sooner than later here with this Jungle Boy character.
I think eventually, I don't know, Jason, the fans are still coming back.
Yeah.
And
true.
I think that AEW fans love a gimmick in a way, like, you know what I mean? Like, the Jungle Boy thing, I think, works, and I don't think it detracts from him in the way it would in, say, WWE.
Mm.
I think that he can still be a serious contender with the Jungle Boy outfit and the name Jungle Boy. Because remember when AEW first started, and JR was really pushing Jungle Jack Perry?
Yeah, that was
bad. He kept calling him Jack Perry, Jack, Jungle Jack. He kept saying it, and I was like, no, his name's Jungle Boy. I want his name to be Jungle Boy. And I feel like that's the vibe from the fans. They want him to be Jungle Boy. Leave him with the long hair. Leave him with the tights. And frankly, you know, I don't mind him having Luchasaurus as his second. I like it. I like that package a lot.
What I didn't need last night is I did not need Matt Hardy at the end of this. I was fine with them leaving it alone on Jungle Boy and Kenny. I was even okay if Christian ran down and Christian ran off Kenny, because that sets up the next program. Listen, not only do I not need Matt Hardy at the end of this show, I don't need Matt Hardy, period.
Yeah. Yeah, this version of Matt Hardy is the least engaging version of Matt Hardy. I get what you're doing, but I'm just not that into it. Broken Matt Hardy was great. Woken Matt Hardy, same difference. Like, but this version, I don't know. I'm with you. The thing with Christian, it was great. We didn't need Matt Hardy. But that's classic, right? Like, AEW seems to be doing that, where there's just like, it's just a little too much.
It's a trope. It's now become a trope of the program.
Yeah. There's just too many people all the time. Too many things. Just, it would have been fine. We know that we're going to Christian versus Omega.
Yeah.
So let it be. And I understand that Matt Hardy is going to be, in Christian's way before Omega. I already know that. We know that. You don't need to cram that down my throat again, you know?
Last week on AEW, I think it was last week, we had MJF take out Dean Malenko. This week, I gotta say, due to knowing the health history of Conan, I was shocked when FTR took out Conan in the way that they did. We talk about how WWE embarrasses their legends, their agents. Is this different? Or are we being softer on AEW because it's AEW? Because, you know, you've got two older guys here who were crapped on. Granted, it's for the sake of an angle, but what's your take on this?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's the same thing. I don't think it's the same thing at all. I would compare this more to Randy Orton's original Legend Killer.
Oh, I did love
that. Which I think was great.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
No, I agree with you. I did love that initially. It just has just gone on for so long, and it's so dumb now. And the last run of it with embarrassing the three guys who ended up going and taking off to AEW, I really despise. I was just very surprised with Conan due to the health. Made sense, I guess, and I guess Malenko made sense. It's not that I have a problem with it, but I just tried to compare it and thought about it and wondered if I was giving him a pass because it's AEW and it's new and they don't have the reputation.
I don't think so. I think these are legends who are taking a beating to put over young talent. I don't think that these guys, Malenko and Conan, are being embarrassed. They're working, they're doing an angle with this guy. Right. Whereas in WWE, you know, that's embarrassing. The lights go out and this one guy comes along with these nighttime goggles or, you know what I mean? Like, they embarrass their legends. Like, it's the things they make them do, the way they present them. It's like, this is humiliating. I don't think anything was humiliating about the way they beat up Malenko or Conan. I think that these were bad guys who are younger and strong, beating up older guys who are legends. Like, I don't see it as the same thing at all.
To WWE's credit, I also will depart from this for the Ted DiBiase angle done with LA Knight. It this week or was it last week? Good angle. You know what I mean? Like makes sense there. So that's a good use of Ted, where I think what I'm more so talking about is Mark Henry seen on a scooter. On a knee scooter. I don't care what happened to his leg. You should never see a legend like that. Big Show not being allowed to stand up and Randy Orton looking down upon him. Terrible thing for Big Show. Was probably one of the reasons why he wanted to get out of there because he was being embarrassed. Now, WWE legend-wise, let's continue on because we saw the return of a Hall of Famer, a legend this week again. It's Edge. And Edge is on SmackDown. Looking at what has happened here, Mark, I had an immediate thought of what was going on for SummerSlam. What was your take on this?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty straightforward that it's, you know, it looks like it's going to be Edge and Roman Reigns, no?
And what did that mean for the other side of things on Raw in your head?
Oh, you know what? I didn't even consider Raw.
So I did, because okay. I thought, interesting. So we have Edge back. That's Edge and Roman Reigns. That doesn't make sense considering Roman Reigns pinned him and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. But okay, we'll leave that be. Well, where does John Cena play into this then? Well, I guess John Cena's over with Bobby Lashley now. What if I told you that's not the case?
What?
Edge,
what do you mean?
Versus Seth Rollins at SummerSlam. Just talked to Meltzer. That's what he gave me.
Sorry, Edge versus Seth Rollins.
Yes.
Is there something I don't know? Is Seth Rollins going over and beating Bobby Lashley? Is that what's about to happen?
No, it just looks like that's the way they're going to play this. You leave Cena with Reigns and Edge is a match with Seth Rollins. That's penciled in for SummerSlam, and they don't know what's going on with Bobby Lashley yet.
No, I don't believe it. Nope, I refuse.
What would
be? Doesn't make any sense.
It does. Well, listen, Edge coming back on the SmackDown side of things doesn't make sense. Roman Reigns literally pinned him and another man at the same time at WrestleMania.
I'll give them this though. He did pin both of them at the same time, but then Daniel Bryan had a one-on-one match, and Daniel Bryan also got pinned by himself. So now it's Edge's turn to get pinned by himself. They're doing things in reverse order, absolutely, but it didn't seem so wild to me that they wouldn't do it. I was like, yeah, sure, this makes sense for how this company does things.
Which is not good.
which is not good.
Who do you put in the ring with Lashley at SummerSlam if everyone seems to be crammed over on the SmackDown side of things?
Yeah, I mean, how's Rey Mysterio doing? Rey Mysterio pop up over there? Who's disappeared that needs to reappear?
Bray Wyatt.
Oh, there you go. Bray Wyatt. Perfect. You know what? That actually makes a ton of sense because Bray Wyatt, the crowds love Bray Wyatt. So now that they've got crowds again, it makes perfect sense to have Bray Wyatt come in as a babyface against Bobby Lashley.
This would be so bad. If that is their idea, I would actually say, you know who I think would be the best case scenario is right now, maybe Finn Balor. Maybe yes. Finn Balor returning. Finn Balor, let's just think if it, I mean, he can't win. I mean, if they want to keep Lashley strong, you put Lashley over the Demon. But you get a big Demon entrance at a giant arena at SummerSlam.
Oh, that sucks. You're going to bring Finn Balor back, put him in the Demon, and make him lose straight away.
So what you're saying is that's on brand.
You're right. It is on brand.
Exactly.
I'm not pleased about it, though. I'm just, you know, I just feel like there's, I would like more of a story for Finn Balor. That's just me, I guess. Don't you want that?
Well, I don't. I mean, maybe he doesn't do the Demon thing. Maybe it is Finn Balor. I mean, Finn can say he's... Did he lose that title? That's not the Universal, is it? No, that's the other title. So I guess he hasn't had that title. Well, he can say that. It's the one title I haven't had. I'm going after you, Lashley. That's reason enough to have Finn challenge. And Finn is expendable. Finn's going to give you a good match. He's someone that is much smaller than Lashley, so I don't know about that. Those two standing toe-to-toe won't look all that great in the ring. But he's going to give you a good match. He's expendable. He can lose at WrestleMania or at SummerSlam, and you can keep Lashley rolling on through.
Right. Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess that's...
I don't know if
I mean,
I'm
if
right.
That's what we're looking at. I mean, no, I mean, I guess, yeah, I see what
Could
you're
Could be
saying.
Bray Wyatt. But then what do you do? I'm not lying. I think that they're in equal contention. If anything, there's a nudge towards Bray Wyatt being that guy, being gone away. You made a valid point of the fact that, you know, fans will cheer for Bray Wyatt, I guess, because they're going to be there. They're going to be in a crowd.
Bring it back. Let's start singing The Whole World in Our Hands again.
Boy.
Let's do it.
I just can't imagine Bobby Lashley and MVP, who have been the best duo on WWE television, now having to deal with this mystical figure of the Fiend.
Well, you know what else is possible? It's also possible that Kofi gets the shot at SummerSlam.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
Kofi
maybe
Mania.
Maybe that program goes that long.
Yep. But I mean, you're getting that at Money in the Bank, but it could be a rematch. And it could be another stipulation. Mm-hmm. As long as Bobby Lashley has the title, Kofi can never challenge again. And once again, Lashley runs over Kofi for a second time at SummerSlam.
Or maybe at Money in the Bank, that's where we get our 60-minute draw.
Okay, get out of here. That's enough, Andrada. We're done for this week on the Terrestrial Radio, guys. We'll be back next week, same time, same station that you're listening to. For podcasts each and every day, find us at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Normally, Mark and I do the midweek markout, couple scheduling complications. Mark, this week you're joined by our NXT Talk podcaster, Boris. That means not only do you have to watch Raw, but you have got to be the note taker, and you have got to lead Boris through.
I will do no such thing. This is going to be a hodgepodge, higgledy-piggledy podcast, and none of us will know what we're talking about.
And that'll be happening on Tuesday morning. Get it at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Thank you all for listening. For those of you that are on the Patreon right now, the Sunday Night's Main Event Extra is to come, where Mark and I will break down NXT and a few other things in the business, including Mark talking about Kenny Mobley and what she said on the podcast that he listened to. That is next, and it is all to come. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week on Sunday Night's Main Event. Don't you dare miss it.
Brother.